Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Welcome to episode 114 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and our host is the Rampage Network at rampagenetwork.com, and this week we are simul-hosting the show with TGT Webcomics and tgtwebcomics.com. Take it away.
Well, thank you very much for that, Fez. Actually, Smith Micro presents, I should say, TGT Webcomics, a live podcast made by webcomic readers for all readers as we look at comics across the internet. And you're right. Today, we have a simulcast with of the 900 and, you know, Fez, Tanya, and Mark from the fabulous Webcomic Beacon, which I've actually listened to a long, long time. And actually, you're the guys that got me into podcasting. Really, this is what I wanted to do. And I can't thank you enough for letting me do this today.
No problem. We just hope that we don't end up going off the cuff completely, like webcomics reviews and interviews. Holy crap.
That was bad.
No, but I love that episode so much, and I'm so jealous it's not a Webcomic Beacon episode. people can... I'll try to find that link later, but anyway...
Basically, what it came down to is we won't crap on our own floor, but boy, somebody else's.
And we're not enthusiastic enough, someone
You
says.
Can't take us anywhere.
But isn't that the case for many people, though? I mean, you gotta have fun anywhere you can make it, though.
I believe so.
Yes. Kurt, you actually approached me, and because I guess you were on this stint of, hey, let's talk to other webcomic podcasters and such. So what is the idea for the show that you had today?
Well, the idea for the show of today actually kind of stemmed from me getting my new Audio-Technica microphone, actually. And it was a brief podcasting 101 stint with Byron. And it got down to the point where Tom Racine from Telltale Radio, you know, said, that's a great idea. You know, would you like to do something similar? And I said, you know what? That's a great thought, great idea, great concept. And so I said, well, why don't I do this every month? Why don't I try and get fellow webcomic podcasters like yourselves on the show and kind of just talk about the background
steal our
of
ideas.
Podcasting. And sorry, steal your what?
Ideas.
Oh, no. That's next week's episode.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of which, remember the Gigcast? Well, they are back, actually. They've been producing more than one comeback episode before it disappeared again. So that's – I need to mention them again since they are back, but they're kind of evolved into, I guess, a general sort of web podcast of stuff.
They're stealing from somebody else then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're the new Extra Life Radio maybe. I don't know.
Good stuff. Now, the Gigcast is one of my second favorite, you know. They're just, you know, JT and the crew there, they're just great guys. I love listening to their stuff. Plus, they play a mean ukulele, too.
They do. Indeed. JT and Scott were nice enough to listen to me ramble about all sorts of bizarre things on their show, so it was further evidence that I'm okay with crapping on other people's floors.
Exactly.
Yes. But, you know, the one of the questions I always wanted to ask you guys was, you know, why did you start doing a podcast and really what is your background?
I'll start this one off since I did start the Webcomic Beacon. And this question has been asked and answered before, but I'll do a quick rundown. Over 2 years now, I was at the Webcomic List forums. And before I actually started the podcast, I was starting micro reviews, 1 minute webcomic reviews that were actually really fun to do. And so I, you know, trying to find a gimmick to be a webcomic reviewer since everybody was doing it. And I think later I also had a segment on Infendo Radio, a Nintendo podcast. And it's called the same thing, 2 cents in 60 seconds. And then I was like, let's see, I want to try to make a whole podcast. Let's see if I can do that. Because then I was starting to get into podcasts, and this is before I knew of any webcomic podcasts at all ever, because I didn't look for them. So I thought, Elvira first! And so I was wrong. But, so then I was thinking, okay, on the webcomic list, there's lots of, like, different webcomic reviewers here, so let me try to get them on the show, and we'll just have a big show of webcomic reviewers from the webcomic list. And so I contacted Aaron Lewis, I believe it was, Brett Hanley, Tanya, and for the longest time, it was just me and Tanya as the co-hosts with segments by other people as well, and eventually we got a different Aaron, I forget his last name, who does The Best of What's Left. He was a co-host for a while, and then we got Mark Savory, and it was just, you know, once we got going, it never really stopped, because I'm kind of anal like that, I guess. And Tanya, why don't you go ahead and then... why did you agree, I guess?
Well, I mean, I agreed, I don't know, because people ask me to do things, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I don't put a lot of thought into things. I would love to say,
is it,
know,
that
I
easy?
Sat down and I thought, this could be a great idea to help promote my comic, and, you know, it could expand my horizons and blah, blah, blah. No, I just went, yeah, all right, whatever. And I, you know, got a headset and I'm plugged in. I don't think those kind of things through. When friends ask me to do stuff, I just sort of do it.
Is that with anything? Yeah.
What?
Is that with anything?
You know what? With more things than is prudent. Let's just put it that way. More often than not, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. And like 2 weeks later, I'm going, what the? Oh, can I say bad words on this show?
not unless you want me to edit it.
Oh, you actually edit your show?
No. Oh. No, I just, not a lot of my guests actually swear, but that's all right. You know, go
then
ahead.
Then I let say, her, what the shucks? And... And then try to, you know, move things around and market things into my life in a way that makes sense rather than just sort of random. Okay. Yeah, I'd love to give you a great story about the process. There wasn't one. Oh, okay. It sounded easier, I guess, than writing out, like, X stuff or doing something on my own. And I thought maybe it's something I'll like. And, well, he asked, so...
And then he got Mark roped into it.
Right. I don't know how that happened since he has the most voice talent here, so.
Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. Well, oh, it's my turn. Well, I've done some radio, just, you know, really local, teeny tiny market radio, just weekend stuff and things like that. And when I discovered podcasting, I was going to do my own podcast just to promote my comic. So I still kind of do that. I haven't done it in a few months, though, because I've been busy with other things. But I wanted to do that, and I wanted to do a music podcast and a couple of other things. And I thought about doing a web comic podcast, but Fess beat me to it. And what he was doing was far superior to anything I had imagined. So I had started doing some reviews because they didn't have anyone doing reviews, and I did a bunch of those, and then eventually I just sort of morphed into co-hosty dude, which was far less work than doing those reviews every week.
Yeah, there's a lot of work on my end, especially back when I actually used to edit everything. I mean, I'll still go back and edit long pauses, and but not short long, but whatever. So, Mark, we're glad you joined the show.
Yeah,
I go back. When I do mine, I usually try to cut out the
So yeah, the Autumn Lake podcast. Do you still do that? I've switched my computer so many times, I've lost all my feeds. So I keep forgetting.
I do. I've not done it for some time.
Right.
It's been several. So I just haven't had time between classes and. And the comic and everything. I just haven't had time to do it. And where I work, we've had like a spate of overtime. So I just didn't have time to do it. But I need to start picking up that again. I need to get back at it before it fades away. I don't want a pod fade.
Is it like an unworshipped god? They just sort of disappear. Turn
well,
transparent,
I don't have
to worship fade them, into so the sunlight.
Don't you need to ring like a little bell or something to bring
you
back?
You clap to bring them back.
There you go.
No, that's where an angel gets its wings.
Oh,
bell is the angel.
If the bell rings, it's dead.
I think it's the fairies. I don't know what the podcast equivalent is. It's probably booting and talking about tits.
I don't really do that on my show, though. All the stuff I do is G-rated except for the beacon.
You need some form of release somewhere. So
I don't have a girl, so I guess, yeah, the beacon will be.
Oh, God, that's sad.
No.
Any port storm, I guess.
Not again. You know, I've actually had... This is so off topic. I apologize. I'm going to do that right now. I apologize for anything I do to your show. I've now had 3 email requests, Mark, to get you laid. Just any way possible. It doesn't matter. Yes, people are emailing me. People I don't know. It's like, hey, I don't know you.
Do something about this.
But I was listening to The Beacon, and you should really get Mark laid.
They're all rooting for you, Mark.
I thought you meant my character. You mean me. That's even better.
Probably both.
Yeah,
okay,
my character
strangers
can't get...
email me, Mark. That's a problem. It needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I know. It's a terrible problem.
Okay, so we have Kurt Sassel on the show from TGT Webcomics. And he has several more questions to go through. So,
well, I don't know. I mean, the fact that Mark's getting emails to get laid, that's a pretty – that's hard to segue into. I'm
Oh, wait, no. Here we go. No, the next question is perfect. Type of equipment. What do you start with? What are you using now, Mark?
Yeah, well. Type of equipment I'm using now?
Yeah, maybe need a microphone.
It's an audio
I'm so
technique.
Happy right now.
I think we're referring to the audio, not the manual aspect of it. So,
Technica here. I probably have the same one you do. Let's see. It's the AT2020. That's an older one, but
yeah,
that's what I have. That's your new one?
Oh yeah, that's
it's
mine.
A spiffy. I need to get one of those foam wind things for it, though.
Yeah.
I have a pop guard, but it's not enough, and I can't find the foam condom for it. I need to get one.
Yeah,
look
no,
on
Amazon won't ship me apparently the pop guard to Canada.
Look on buy.com. They it's been all right for me looking for audio stuff. Bought a kit from.
What, Behringer?
Yeah, Behringer. And it was Podcast Studio. And I forgot what it was, but it was just $100. It came with headphones.
Good stuff.
It came with a mic, and it's an XLR mic that plugs into an actual mixer. And then it comes with this USB device that you plug, like, you know, the red, white plugs into from your mixer to the USB stick, and then the USB goes into your computer. So it basically makes another audio card for your computer, an external audio card, essentially. And that's what I use, and it's great for what I'm doing. And I mean, you can hear the quality of the microphone when you really get in there, very clear. And I have a windscreen, and I have a pop guard, and I also have that little bungee thing where it keeps the, you know, the bumps a little bit more mellow. But it's the wrong size.
The shock mount.
But it's the wrong size, so I have a lot of tape around the microphone itself to make it fit. Because I didn't want to have to worry about getting another one. But
you can get one of those. I've seen them at Best Buy, if you got a Best Buy up there. The pop guards.
Yeah, we got Best Buy.
I mean, in Canada, if you haven't.
Yeah.
No, I'll have to take a look at that. I was actually in Best Buy yesterday. Didn't really
so
pop
got,
into mind.
At least where I am, they have like a real crappy section of like music, like keyboards and stuff, and like cheapo microphones and junk. It's probably over there. It's probably over with those.
For people that are interested, if you go to our About Us section on Webcomic Beacon, there is a section called How We Do It, and it basically is an explanation of how I go about recording the podcast, and if anybody usually asks me, I usually give them this link, because it's a lot easier since I've typed it all out, but the essential thing is using this kit, which, you know, for $100, that was a really good deal. And I've been using this for I have no idea, maybe at least a year now, And then I also use a program for recording called Goldwave. But I'm guessing the audio... What is that one, that free one?
Audacity.
I'm guessing that would work.
It's really good.
I really don't want to have free. To try to figure out to learn a whole new thing. Goldwave does cost, but I grew up with it, so I liked it. So I haven't tried anything else, so I can't attest to that.
See, now I personally use Audacity. Sorry to interrupt you there, Mark, but I've used Audacity for all my editing needs, and it does a great job of cutting out, like, if there's a lot of... background noise issues. You know, you can select a copy, highlight the entire thing, and it will actually go through and remove all that type of stuff. There's some really great features on it.
Yeah, it is a bit just ever so much crash worthy. So you have to save if you're doing it for the music cast. I was doing a lot of editing of tracks, and if you don't, it's just like Photoshop, any of these really complicated software. You gotta hit save. Otherwise, it'll all end in tears when it crashes and you lose everything and have to start over.
Although they have fixed a lot of the crashes in the newest betas too, so that's awesome.
Audacity is really, really good. So some people use GarageBand and that's cool, or I think Cakewalk's another one. But Audacity is free. Hey, I'm all for free.
Well,
so.
I think GarageBand's free on Macs. It might be a pre-installed thing, but another thing to get, which any podcaster should look into, is a program called Levelator. If you're going to be recording and editing and then saving, I would recommend a recording as a WAV file, or if not a WAV file, a high quality MP3. And then you'll want to drag this file into Levelator, and what it'll do, it'll bring out your low-volume stuff and bring down your high-volume stuff just a bit to try to give a nice equal sound balance to it. Of course, if you have a really quiet thing, it will make it louder, so it'll sound a little bit off, so you still want to try to get as much volume out of your original recording. And then as far as... filtering, like getting out the weird noises and the background stuff, experiment a little, at least like with a small portion of your file, and try a few different things with your thing. On my program, there's a thing called Hiss Remover, and I just adjusted just a bit, and I made a new thing called Slight Hiss Remover, and that seems to work just fine, because it's usually just that like, little background, constant little... which actually might be edited out by the time you hear that with the filter, but experiment, you know, try a little bit something with as much as complex as you'll get it, and then just, you know, play around a little bit until you get the right settings that seem to work. And then when you save it, if you're doing audio and you really don't have a lot of music on the show, 96 kbps should be enough without wrecking the overall audio quality and not killing your bandwidth. Anything higher than that, I'd maybe only go 128 if you have a lot of music in your show or not. It all depends on what bandwidth you kind of have available.
Yeah, mono or stereo makes a difference too.
Right.
Mono recording is less weight than a stereo because it only's got one channel, right?
Right, but so I do stereo because it sounds better.
Well, yeah, it sounds better. But if you're just talking, then maybe that's all you need. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really worry too much about it.
Yeah,
I have, like Fess, I sort of made my own kit. I didn't buy a podcasting kit, but I have the microphone I mentioned and the stand and all that shock mount and all that stuff. And then I have a Tapco mixer. Because the Behringer wasn't available, so I got a Tapco. It seems to work all right. I don't have any problems with that. I got a noise gate, which I still have no idea how to really set it properly, but I sort of jiggered around and got it to...
Noise gate?
One of the problems I had when I started, it wasn't so much traffic on the road, because I'm inside the house, although you can hear the occasional truck go by.
Right.
Was the refrigerator, because it's an old one, and every so often it would make a buzzing sound. Eventually, I slid it off into another room. So in the kitchen, there's that, like, you know, where it's like a little, I guess you'd call it a mud room, where the
washer
dryer.
That's dedication.
Yeah, So that helped a lot. But I wanted a noise gate just to get rid of some of the, you know, some of the hiss. I think it's a compressor too, so that kind of helps. But that's, I mean, really, that's all you need. I'd say out of all of those things, the microphone is what you would spend the money on. Because if you have a really cheap, crappy mic, it makes a difference. You can hear the difference. That would be my advice, I guess, to anybody doing that. Would be, you know, if you're going to spend money on this, buy a decent microphone. You might get away with buying one that just plugs right into the computer via USB. I don't know. I've never used one of those. Right. That would probably save you having to buy a mixer and all that other stuff if it's got software you can tweak.
Right. Yeah.
But the microphone's the important part if you're serious about it. If you're just trying it out, get yourself a $20 mic and have fun.
And don't use your speakers to hear stuff. Get a headphone.
Okay. Yeah, you need decent headphones, I would say, would be the second.
A nice set of Plattronics is what I've been using for a while, actually, and it really works out well because, you know, you're right. The mic does make a real difference, especially in the audio quality, and really brings out, you know, your voice. And, hey, $100 for a mic like this, the one we mentioned, works out well if you're really serious about it.
I have a I also have for outside, I have a digital recorder, a portable one.
A nice
it's just
one.
An Olympus DS40.
Oh, really?
And this is really cool. The only thing that sucks, it comes with like these stereo condenser mics on top. Mm-hmm. If you ever see these things, don't use those because they suck. in my experience, they're all tinny and none of them sound any good. So I went ahead and I got this thing, which I'll plug them here because it's a good product. It's from Giant Squid Audio Lab. If you just look those up. On the internet,
right,
Giant Squid Audio Lab. They have a mini gold-plated Omni microphone. It's only like $15. It's worth it. It sounds so much better.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at getting a digital recorder, and I was trying to figure out what type of mic I should get to plug into it. I'll definitely have to look at that. Thanks for that.
It just plugs into the top. It's not like it has any cords. It's like this piece that just plugs in, right?
Yeah, just like a mic jack, and then the condenser mic is like a little cylinder.
Right. You actually had this on when we were at PenguinCon last year, and you just set it up. And I had I think I had some sort of like plug-in microphone there, and it just did not pick up as much as yours. I ended up using your file because it was pretty good. I mean, it was a nice small room, so it wasn't like echoey or anything. But
yeah. It's an amazing little thing for $15, and hey, you know, really, it's worth it.
Right.
The only thing it doesn't have is a windscreen. I sort of got one from an old headset I had.
Oh, that's
stick it
what
on
you
there.
Did. Okay.
But it's that. I mean, $15. Come on. You know, maybe $20 with shipping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's seriously worth it. If you want to go outside and do that, alternately, you might get one of those. They're also very cheap, but not as good. One of those tie clip ones. And I know of a guy who he goes out to fairs and he goes out around the city where he lives in Boston and just interviews people. And if he's out in public, he doesn't want to shove the thing in people's faces. So he just tacks the little tie clip bit. He just tacks it on the top of his baseball hat. It sounds great.
Cool.
And he just, you know, he can talk to people about, you know, drawing their sidewalk chalk art or, you know, running the vegetable stand or whatever he does. It sounds impressive. It's really good. I have not tried that myself. I just talk to myself when I do my podcast.
All right. We got to take a quick break right now because I need to switch tapes. But we'll be right back after this.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
audio quality is to have all of this set up and then still use tape.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Wow.
Christopher that... Glenn used to. He used to use audio carts even up into the digital age. So to edit all this stuff.
Yeah, I got this. I got this four spinning reel behind me.
I like it.
All right, so we have a few more. Let's see, questions to go through.
The one thing I find that's interesting is, were you talking like in channel questions or continuing with what we have?
Your questions.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, I thought you had other questions, but no worries there. Basically, you know, the one thing about podcasting, at least that from what I've listened to, everyone has their own format, their own style of how they do their show. You know, did you try different styles when you first started the Webcomic Beacon?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that question. Sorry, I was answering. Somebody asked if I'm actually really using tape. No, I'm not. I had just four different WAV files open to help save RAM and editing time and all that stuff.
I know that when we first started Fest Sent Out, like it was very structured. There was a document that was sent every week, and it had, you know, what we were going to talk about here and here and here. And it was almost like it wasn't scripted out. You know, what we said was what we said. But every week it was very together, and there was strict structure. And we never managed to stick to it.
Never.
Really, ever. And so I think it started slowly dawning on him that really all he was doing was wasting time creating a structure for us to ignore. And then he stopped. And then, but he still tried to hold it together with editing. So he would let us just go off, but then he would try to rein it in and edit it and make it sound like as though it had been scripted and documented and formatted. And then that drove him mental. So he stopped. And now we get on and we generally know who we're going to be talking to and what we're going to be talking about. And then we discuss boobs and Star Trek.
Boobs.
But aren't those synonymous though, really?
But
I mean, boobs and Star Trek.
Sometimes
with this show,
they certainly can be, especially if they're green. I've never seen green boobs in any other context. So,
well, maybe a dead person, but I've never seen those.
They're not really green; porn. It's more of a gray.
Orc porn.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Ta-da! There's our format.
Well, so much for then. The next question is, how do you guys prepare for the guests that you get on the show? I mean,
I think that's all Fess.
Yeah, they don't prepare anything. They did like, oh, we have a guest today, and it's like, yeah, it's on the calendar, you know.
Who are we talking? Calendar?
What's yeah, we have a calendar.
Okay.
Webcomicbeacon.com/calendar, and it should show our future episodes and such like that. Basically, I beg various people to be on the show, or sometimes people come to me and ask. And I do have to say, I will have to turn some people down unless you got a really good authority on a particular type of topic that's either coming up or that we haven't discussed like that. I'm going to be honest. I am trying to find high traffic guests to help you know move the podcast maybe in a more forward and maybe hopefully get more listeners and such or people that really know a subject and need to share. I appreciate everybody that's been emailing. It's like, you know, you want to promote your comic and everything like that. For the most part, I'm likely going to have to turn you down. For when we have a topic, I sometimes go out and seek people. Sometimes some people are not even that high traffic, but they may have something very cool or interesting to talk about or some different type of thing. And that's been hit and miss with some shows as far as listener feedback and such. But
go ahead.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
I was going to say that's the one thing that Webcomic Beacon, where they stand out among other podcasts, is the fact that you have a topic every show.
We're trying.
That you, well,
for, give it a shot.
95% of the time you have a topic, which is just
we're supposed to have a topic? You guys told me that.
Sometimes I don't come up with a topic until after the show. It's like, oh, the topic changed.
That is a bit of a confession. Occasionally, it'll be like, no, we're going to sort of talk about...
you're underwater.
Drowning, Tanya. She's drowning. Quick, get her. She's all wet.
Get out of the bath, quick.
Wait. I'm not...
Okay, that was pretty funny.
Am I still underwater?
Yeah, not now.
Okay, so sometimes we'll start with this very broad topic. You know, we'll talk about web design, and we go on and we start talking about it. And as we talk about it, it sort of narrows and coalesces into an actual subject. And then, you know, we look professional in reverse.
Yeah, in reverse. like we did have a show last week, and I had to cancel that one. So I'm hoping to maybe redo that again. But right now we're scheduled up fair enough ahead. So I can't really do a whole lot right now. But in any case, what was there more of the question? I think we might be going off topic. I don't know.
No. I was kind of curious
Trek.
Because
Captain Kirk. Boom. What? Oh.
Oh God, this is great. With Tanya drowning or turning into Flipper or something like that. You know, it's. The main question is really it's not about the question per se, it's about the overall goal to the answer, I guess, is what it would be. But mainly it's the whole how did you prepare for your guests, you know, and the topic question was just something I recall from your shows. I find it just really amazing that you can stay on target.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
I'm going in. Cover me, Porkins.
I'm right with you, Red 3. I can hold it.
Pull up!
No, I'm all right.
Sorry.
Red 3's drowned and saved.
Guy from behind. Well, sometimes it's, you know, I'm a very bad business person. I'm non-confrontational for the most part, unless somebody crosses me, I guess. But when it comes to, like, you know, trying to get somebody to do something for me, I'm very... You know, I guess it would be weak handshake, maybe. You know, it's like, you know, if you want to, you know, it'd be nice. You know, I try to put as little pressure on a potential guest as much as possible. And I guess it works for the most part. I've had people, you know, turn me down either because, well, they at least say they're not really available. I don't think anyone said they're not quite interested unless you count not an email back. But I understand a lot of people get a lot of emails and such like that. So it's like, I never was like, oh, yeah, come on this show. You got to. It's like, no, they'd be doing a favor to come on our show is what it is. Mm-hmm. So
good stuff. Yeah, no, it's – and you never know who's going to come on the show unless you ask.
Right.
And I'm confrontational in all the wrong ways. So I'm not really of any help at all there.
Now, what about the whole, you know, Twitter, Facebook, you know, the blogging and all that jazz, the social media? How's the promotion of Webcomic Beacon, and I guess yourselves as well for personal branding, you know, helped you that way?
I'm sorry.
I don't know if I added a Facebook for the show because people wanted a Facebook. I really don't see any sort of number significance from Facebook. But then again, I don't really put that much on there, except when we have a show. I mean, I could probably be doing a better job of promoting it, but it's just a matter of time. I try to do stuff with Twitter, but again, people know the me on Twitter, and usually on Twitter it helps if you're more personal with an account, and you talk about not just plugging stuff. But essentially, that's what the Webcomic Beacon Twitter is like. Hey, we got this coming up. This show is here. So I haven't really been using them, but then again, it's not really a money-making show, so I have less incentive to put more hours into this. I sometimes try to remember to post links on some forums, but you know they already. You know, I mean, I'm all for trying to get more promotion.
Drug fest, kicking and screaming into every social media outlet.
Yeah, you made me get iTunes too. I actually had to get you to do that since I won't put iTunes on my computer.
He refused to to even go to the iTunes website.
I can't go to
actually
it.
Install the program.
It won't let me. So, if I can't browse the iTunes website without having a program on my computer, I say, fuck you.
He has like these Stalinist notions about their intents. So I submitted the Beacon stream to iTunes because I'm a media whore. I don't even care. Mm-hmm. I belong to sites nobody even heard of. So
I belong to sites that don't even exist anymore.
I do, actually. As a matter of fact, there are sites that have closed down that I never closed my account, or sites that just never got off the ground that I was already a part of. It's completely ridiculous, and I don't know why, because I just say humiliating things, and then my family's sad. That's it. I don't promote myself in any sort of positive light.
And Mark just demotes himself. That's all he does.
I know.
I don't demote myself.
He self-depreciates. It's an entirely different thing than demoting. Demoting would suggest he felt he had rank.
I know I have no rank. I'm not really very.
Mark is the red shirt of the webcomic Beacon.
I do a Twitter. I actually quite like Twitter. It took me quite a while to get on Twitter, but I do that. I used to do MySpace, but I don't bother with that anymore. And I don't think anybody else does either.
No.
I have a Facebook page, but I do nothing with it, really. So it's kind of just...
I respond when people have objections to things that I've said. That's really all I do with Facebook. That's about it.
I've never really gotten into it. I thought it was kind of a clunky interface. I don't really like the setup or anything.
It feels really corporate to me. There's no personalization. Everything will be in these spots. You can't move anything around, and you must reply in a linear fashion. And,
I wouldn't object to that if it was designed. They designed it better. I wouldn't object to that. But I'm not really a big fan of Facebook, I gotta say.
Yeah, that's where people are.
I have an issue with ignore. I hate that if somebody sends me a stupid application I don't want to be part of, and let me just make this clear, I don't want to be part of any of those stupid applications. I don't want to be in a mafia. I don't want to farm. I don't want any of that crap.
Me neither.
But when people send me the application, my only option is to ignore the request. Could you be more wankish? Like, that's awful. Can't I just politely refuse? If I could just, like, politely refuse, I would use Facebook more often. But no, I have to ignore... I like.
There should be three
wanker
buttons.
S.
Yeah.
Wanker. Wrong.
Accept, ignore, politely refuse, and maybe angrily refuse.
Angrily refuse.
Yes.
That would be great.
Stoutly refuse. I would be fine with that, but I will not ignore my friends. So I just have piles and piles of requests on this page because I'm too anally English polite to just ignore this. Stupid fragging requests.
I also delete posts on my wall that have to do with those stupid things too. It's like, hey, I found an Easter egg. Good for you. Delete.
Why didn't you leave it for the kids?
Well, I don't want that cluttering up my not used Facebook, but whatever. No offense.
And in terms of the actual ignore aspect, Tanya, Darwin, or sorry. The underwater Tanya here now. If you ignore if you just press ignore, it actually just ignores it for the day, so it'll keep piling up and piling up. So,
really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Huh.
That's
weird.
Annoying.
And it doesn't let them know that you ignored too. So you know, it's all anonymous. Facebook anonymity.
Maybe that's the other thing. If I'm going to be offensive to someone, I like them to know it. I'm not offensive to people behind their backs.
All right, let's move on to the next topic.
In terms of the, you know, all podcasts have to have a website. I mean, come on, that's like, you know, podcasting, where's your website? I know I just had TGT redone by Ken Drab from rickthestick.com, but, you know, your website has been an ongoing evolution from its humble beginnings to its format now, and I think you're always still changing it.
Evolution is a funny word. I would call a bastardization of the current of the original theme. The theme is Anubis 1.0 by a name I can't pronounce, and it was
continual bastardization.
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, what was that? I guess Tanya. Something Tanya. Anyway, so I was looking. This is back when I first. This is my first WordPress. I had no idea what I was doing. I don't know any CSS at this point. And, I mean, I can recognize some words, but as far as what they do, I have no idea. But, so, okay, I'm looking for a theme just to staple on to my WordPress. So I'm looking for a three-column thing. And so I find this thing. It's, like, essentially the color that was really close to what I was already using for 2 cents and 60 seconds. In fact, it was pretty much the exact color. So I picked that. Yeah, it looks cool, and it's three columns. So it took me forever. Trial and error, basically, editing this. Like, mostly, like, changing the color of this to see what that changed. So I'd, like, change something to bright pink, and it was like, then I'd, like, save and go through the thing. Okay, that changes that. And I'll make this one bright green. And it was like, oh, that changes that. So then I would, you know, figure out along the way. And then recently, as I've been working with webcomic publishing things like, you know Inkblot, and as I got more familiar with the code, so more recently I actually went through and I it did a lot of different things, and there's still some flaws in there, mostly because it's a really old theme from, you know, it's over 2 years old. And so, plus I'm using a plugin called PodPress, which technically isn't really supported anymore. They have like a temporary, essentially a temp fix. But other than that, I don't want to try to do another plugin without... I don't want to break the site, so I still use PodPress, and it's great for the most part. The only thing that it has problems with is if you ever quick edit a post, it has some sort of conflict with PodPress, but it really doesn't really affect anything. It just gives you an error, but really it's fine. If I could do it over, I would.
Sorry, PowerPress actually is the newest update for that, and it actually works really well. You just have to reinstall it, and basically everything still works.
Okay, I guess we'll look into that then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it won't break your site.
Cool.
That's the main thing. But, lost my train of thought.
Websites.
Yes, website. When, Mark and Tony, with you guys being continuous co-hosts as well as webcomic authors too, I mean, do you ever promote, guests on that are on the Beacon on your sites, or are you just mainly focused on your own works there as well?
I'm blind now, so I'm not webcomicking. I will be eventually. And I have in the past, occasionally, when we've had a guest that I felt... was in the same kind of genre, or that I knew that my readers also followed, I would promote it on the site. And I always have a link to the Beacon on the site as well.
I have a link to the Beacon. I have a button there on my homepage for the Beacon. But I don't generally promote any guests coming on, because we want more traffic, not less. And I generally don't get a lot of traffic anyway. If I had lots of traffic, I would certainly do that.
I guess I don't. I keep all my projects fairly separated.
If you look at my numbers, they're incredibly low. So I don't really get enough traffic to justify doing a lot of things.
Make some ads, like. Mark. I'll buy you ads, okay? Just give me those files. And I'll take out a campaign. There we go.
And what about advertising then? Good segue there, Fez. But what about advertising for the Beacon? I mean, have you done like focused advertising, or just kind of, throw a dart at the wall?
Well, here's the thing. The problem I just, Bing popped, came to light with is, what the hell is our audience? And our audience is technically more so among the earlier or novice webcomicers that haven't really gotten out too much yet, I guess. I mean, there are things for, like, more experienced people too, but I'm fairly certain no professional webcomicer, so to speak, is listening to our show regularly, unless they find us so endearing or entertaining or something like that. But it's kind of like a beginner's helping beginners, essentially. And so our audience tends to not work so well just by taking out a large ad campaign on, like, high traffic sites, because typically then you're just targeting readers. and readers are not so much our target, though they can be. So I guess my new advertising thing is to basically advertise on all the really low traffic sites and hopefully get the people that have those sites to notice the show and then listen to it, I guess. I mean, it's weird.
So now on, whenever anybody sees an ad for us on their site, they're going to assume that their reader count is subpar.
Well, no, it's not always that. I have like a tiered thing. I'll do two or three different like campaigns. Like one will be like 0 to 100 page views, and then another one will maybe be like 100 to 1,000, and then I'll have like a little bit for like 1,000+ for like page views or something with uniques. So there's like different levels. I mean, because there's some which I know would just be like if I have a topic or a guest on that might be interesting for, you know, even just readers, then I'll advertise on a little bit, you know, more popular sites or higher traffic sites. But I have to be selective with that because I'm not putting my own money into advertising anymore because I can't just keep doing that. But we do make about $20 a month ish on just our Project Wonderful ads, which are technically linked with my other websites, excluding Ardra. Ardra has its own, but everything else has basically my Project Wonderful ads. So, you know, it's seen more places and such. But we also sell sponsorships per episode. When we get a sponsorship, that's basically going to go right to Project Wonderful advertising. So we can do a particular boost for that episode, and you know, so I figure I'm trying to make it at least advertisingly self-sustaining, because I really can't afford just to pump money into something that doesn't really net me anything back. So, you know, that's just how it is.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of people saying, you know, hey, I have a Webcomic Beacon ad on my site, it must suck. That was from Tree Lobsters, so...
Please.
Yeah, he wants to be on the show.
Look here, Mr. Tree Lobsters. You've been linked on the Bad Astronomer's blog. I know for a fact what your hit counts are. Don't even...
That was actually pretty funny, too. But also, there was another question in your channel.
Under the sea. Under the sea. That's where Tanya is.
With a robot. Robotan.
There's one last question from C. Drudd, which was, what would be considered a professional webcomicker?
There's a couple of ways to interpret professional. And we're going to take a quick break first, and then we're going to come back with our third segment, and we will approach that topic.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
Surface, Tanya, surface. Blow all tanks.
Hey, now.
Stay on target.
My mic wasn't on. It couldn't have been me.
That's weird.
It couldn't have been you.
It was doing bubbly things, and it sounded like you're going blah. It was funny.
Screaming was yes.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so the question was what?
Well, the question was from your channel, actually, by C. Drudge, and it was, what do you consider
a professional
webcomic?
There are two different ways to interpret professional. One is, you know, you can conduct oneself in a professional manner, so that is one way to look at it, and in that manner, that would be probably more so in a business aspect. You have maybe a business plan, or at least you're doing your comic in a professional way, and there's likely talent behind it, versus there's web comics out there which I don't know if they even really care. It doesn't seem like it. Or they're just saying, hey, I saw that, I can do that, and they're just another knockoff. Those people do exist. They definitely do exist. Those are very unprofessional people. They don't really do a whole lot to contribute. And there's even some that are monetarily professional, as in profession, as in you actually make money, a reasonable amount of money off of your comic. And there's some that are professional in that aspect, which I believe, or my opinion, would be there are very unprofessional dickwads.
They can be.
They can be. And some are very less deserving than others, I will say. But we will not go into that. But so that's my thing. I mean, you can conduct yourself professionally, and all that stuff. And then there's just, hey, I'm making money professional, as a profession, so. All right, that's my bad.
I think, horrified every time you talk about this.
You're horrified every time. That's funny.
Some of the people are making extreme amounts of money, doing very good work as well. They're not prats.
Yeah, some. Nice. Yeah, I mean, a good amount of them. there's some on there which I think are less deserving than others. I mean, but like I said, I'm not going into that.
I think attitude has a lot to do with it. Now, if you ask somebody like Wiley Miller, and he's a professional cartoonist, that's what he makes his living doing. He's part of the, what you call it, their organization of cartoonists and all these professional outfits and things like that. He's the real deal, okay? He has no love for webcomics.
Oh, no.
He's not the most polite about it when he opines about webcomics. He kind of thinks that they're all amateurs because, hey, you're not making a living doing this, so how can you have a profession if you're not making a living? It's not an unfair argument that he makes. From his position as a professional, I think he's right to opine that view. I understand why he does, but there are people I know who, and I agree with Fess, I think it comes down to attitude a lot of the time. Are you a jerk? Are you the kind of person who you, again, I'm not mentioning any names, but
the
people who have tons and tons of readers and treat them like crap. Or you get a swelled head because, you've been around for 5, 8, 10 years. Or whatever it is. I think it a lot of it has to do in web comics. If we just sort of move away from the Wiley Miller side of print comics and so-called professional, that whole side of it. I think on the internet, attitude is everything. Attitude matters. If you're a jerk and you don't care and you don't make any effort and you don't at least try to make improvements to what you're doing, to what is your craft, then no, you're not a professional at all. And unfortunately, like Fess says, there's a lot of people out there who think they just have to rip off Penny Arcade and clone that, and those make me really sick when they're well made.
Then again, there are some of those jerks that actually do make money for who knows how or why. People keep giving them money.
But. Well, there's other people. Again, I won't mention any, but there's people out there that just like spam forums,
right?
With spam advertising, drive by spamming, and then they go off. Hey, there's one jerk on the webcomic list forum.
Oh,
he comes in. He says, I don't even like really bother checking forums. Just email me. I mean, he's a complete.
Is that the same person that basically replies to like a bunch of topics, giving like a little? Nothing really, or starts a bunch of topics and then just really it's just an advertisement for, hey, go look at my comic.
Yeah, that guy.
So we're not going to name any names, but we are going to narrow it down with specifics until you know exactly who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Centrix, this means you.
I will I will say that when you're doing something on the internet, you are part of your product. You're marketing yourself as well as your work. So yeah, if you're like, the chance is good it'll catch up with you.
Well, my question was going to be physically, you know, in terms of the Wile E. Coyote or whatever his name was, the cartoonist.
Wile E. Miller?
Yeah, that's it, Wile E. Miller.
That's non sequitur. I think it's non sequitur.
It used to be good.
Or Herman. I think Herman.
Oh, right. But my question really is, you know, at some point in time, amateurs become professionals, yet some professionals are amateurs. How can he truly distinguish the difference when there's a lot of webcomic people out there that are excessively talented, and he can call them quote-unquote amateurs? I just don't get it.
Well, I think from his point of view, he's been in that business for years, and I can't speak for him. This is just what I think is going on. And I think, you know, he sees webcomic people are giving the stuff away for free, and the quality is not always that great sometimes. Sometimes it's quite suspect. And people try to tack that label on themselves. I'm a professional, when really that guy's paid his dues. You know, he's the real deal. He's paid his dues. And, you know, when you compare it to some MS Paint thing that somebody scrawled together, yeah. You know, you kind of see his point. It's not always nice about it.
Go ahead, start again, Tanya.
One of the criticisms I've heard from especially newspaper comic artists about webcomics is that even those that have talent that are producing a project, you know, a product every day, or you know, on a strict schedule, who have a huge number of readers and are very professional about the way they act, that they're not making money off the comic. They're making money off merchandise, and therefore they're not cartoonists, which I think is complete crap. Not one of the newspaper, you know, comic artists is selling just their work. The newspaper is being sold. It's not just their freaking comic strip. It's all a bit redundant, and the newspapers run on advertising. That's where they're making their money.
They're not making money off your 50 cents per issue, really.
Exactly. They're making money off the ads in the paper. So that, to me, is a completely hypocrite-impeded most often.
I think part of the problem, too, is that the newspaper's a dying medium, and that's written on the wall for sure. I mean, newspapers are going to go away. It's just a matter of time. And I think the more newspapers close and cut the comics page and shrink the comics page down, the professional newspaper cartoonists are losing business. They're losing their market, and they don't really quite know what to do. And so then they see guys on the internet just giving their stuff away for free, and I think that's probably why they kind of look down at it a bit. Even though there's some incredible stuff out there, there's some incredible comics out there, but I also don't think that they bother to go look for them.
Right.
Right.
I think they just sort of paint with a big broad brush, and that's how it is. I do think that fear of the future is part of it.
Evolve or die. It's the choice that we all have, and regardless of what it is you're doing. You know, if we were still trying to do, instead of podcasting, if we were still trying to do local radio stations, we wouldn't be getting the kind of listeners that we have now. Evolve or die.
Well, actually, if we actually were on the radio, we might have more listeners, actually. I mean, radio and TV still have wide
local
reach.
Like little local radio ones.
Okay. We did get a comment in the chat room, our Ustream chat room. It said, four kinds of professional. Making money professional, full-time professional, business professional, and professional attitude. And look those up if you want to really get into that. but yeah, you know, that's, you know, just how it is.
I see. I personally don't think newspapers are going to, quote-unquote, go away or de-evolve. I just think that there's not going to be as many of them because everyone needs paper, everyone needs magazines. But because of the digital age, so to speak, that we're in right now, which is still rather young, it really comes down to how do you want to view your media? Do you want to listen to it? Do you want to read it on your iPads, iPod, touches, whatever else there? and it's not like I'm trying to promote Apple, but you know, it just comes down to your personal choice, your personal preference.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think newspapers are going to die soon, but I think they will die. My kids have never held a newspaper.
Well, I have. I need something to start the campfire. People need something to wrap their fish in.
Start the wood stove.
It's or like use the funnies to make a present, maybe wrapping paper. But the thing is that the internet's there. Everyone everywhere can go to a news site and get this information. They don't necessarily need to buy the local paper. So newspapers are going to have to condense in some way because they're just going to have to. But we're not going to go more into that because that's a whole different subject. Were there any more topics that you wanted to go over, Kurt?
No, I'm pretty much good. I mean, it was just great chatting with you guys. Finally, hearing how you guys tick, so to speak, and just know that Tanya really enjoys being underwater, and that Mark is passionate, and I have a phone call. So hang on a second.
All right. Well, while Kurt's on a phone call, I'm going to go into a couple of things because we do have some news, and I do have to say that we mentioned advertising earlier. If you are advertising on the website when we are doing a podcast recording live at webcomicbeacon.com/live, you can check out all the Project Wonderful ads right now. We have a Samurai Princess taking in our banner ad, and that's at samuraiprincess.com, and Amiya at AmiaChronicles.com, also part of the Rampage Network, actually, is on our tower ad, and on our, at the bottom of every post ad, we have I Dream of a Genie Bottle at GenieBottle.com. So thank you for advertising on the Webcomic Beacon.
Well, personally, very sorry about that. My phone rang. But anyhow, advertising on TGT is Kern, a.k.a. Jan Gagne, from the Drow Tales, which is drowtales.com.
Alrighty. Well, thanks once again to our advertisers. And let's see. I think we have at least just one milestone. And it looks like 40 Winks by John Peters, actually, at gypsygirlpress.com has hit its one-year mark. Yeah, that's the one. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun, and I guess go ahead and check that out. I'm very bad at just on the fly summarizing something.
He's very
Book of Biff. Book of Biff is hitting 4 years.
Awesome. Well, there you go.
I'm closing in on that myself.
Chris Hallbeck again will be at PenguinCon this year. So.
Yeah.
Speaking of PenguinCon, which you can find at penguicon.org, the Webcomic Beacon crew is going to be there in full en masse.
In force.
We will have a table there as well as the Rampage Network and also the Jenny Everywhere Shifter Archive. Basically, just us with tables. But, we're going to be there at PenguinCon, so come and check that out if you're in the area. And if... and there's a large webcomic community going to be there, webcomic presence going to be there this year, so it should be really cool.
Can I just toss in a con that we're going to?
And
I'd love to go to PenguinCon, by the way, because Mike Delheim is going to be there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Great guy. He's a funny guy too, but TGT Webcomics is going to be doing video interviews as media with the Chicago Entertainment Expo or C2E2.com. We're going to be going basically for the entire weekend and just painting the town red afterwards too. So I'm looking forward to interviewing everyone there.
Well, cool. And the Beacon is going to be doing a live show on at PenguinCon as well. So that's another reason to show up. And when is C2E2?
C2E2 is April 16th to the 18th at the McCormick Center. And I believe you can get tickets at the door there. it's going to be a huge media event. I mean, Star Wars is going to be there. You have Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. I mean, I'm just geeking out about that right there.
oh, by the way, go to YouTube and type in Batman Kills Christmas, parts 1 and 2. Look that up. It is a riot. I mean, really. Okay, just because you brought that up. Anyway. It is so hilarious. Oh my god, you will die laughing, I think. But anyway, so PenguinCon is April 30th to May 2nd in Troy, Michigan, at the Troy Marriott. So we got the convention plugs out of the way. Upcoming episodes, I guess no show next week since it's the second Sunday of the month. Let's see, Sunday, April 18th. It looks like we're going to be doing a show on webcomics with robots. Because Mark has yet to get back to me with a topic, so I'm going to guess that we can do robots. And then after that, it's going to be Tanya with the guy from Tree Lobsters for Skeptic Comics. And then it's going to be the PenguinCon show, so that's going to be fun. We're going to be doing Lego bricks, Lego brick comics in the future. It's anyway,
again, am I still?
You're fine.
Flippery.
They call her Flipper. Flipper.
I quit.
No, we need the girl in the show. Okay.
So
that was it.
That's about it. I do have some other news. Serious news, I guess. I mean, I hate to keep bringing it up. I'm not trying to milk it, so to speak. But you know, I'm just mentioning it everywhere. The reason why we didn't have a show last Sunday was mainly because, my brother committed suicide on the Saturday before that. So, some people might have seen some of the posts I made. I made a post on myfastworks.com site as a little farewell. And, I'm the one who actually discovered him on Saturday morning, so that wasn't very fun. So, and I mentioned many different things about my brother on the post, and as going through the stuff, realized there's not enough pictures. And so if there's anything I can tell anyone about anything, is to take more pictures before you can't take any more. Because really, there are many years where there's no documentation, and you just need a little bit something to hold on to sometimes. So, as far as us, the family, I guess we're doing okay holding together and everything. So, you know, I don't know who is harder on me or my parents since I live with Brian. But so there's that news. So, and doing this other stuff, doing the routine again, is helping to, I guess, you know, at least, you know, keep me from going into a cycle of depression again. So, but anyway, you know, I do mention this because the music that I have been using for the webcomic Beacon was music from Brian. You know, he's my brother Brian. I mean, they were mostly just samples of work. They weren't complete songs. I'll probably put his other weird techno-y tracked songs up somewhere so people can give a listen to them if they want. But so that's about that for this show. But I do thank everyone for everyone who's been, you know, sending nice tweets back or emails and such to me. I thank everyone for being very, very helpful. And, you know, I'm not very personal on the web too much. And it's been very helpful too, because I have a lot of friends online. So, aside from that, that is pretty much it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon. And I guess TGT Webcomics.
Yeah, well, that's it for TGT Webcomics as well. Our month of April is next 3 weeks are kind of up in the air because of C2E2 and a schedule change as well. But with this Sunday, actually today, I just reposted the Byron Wilkins 1977 thecomic.com interview that we had for him. So happy Easter all. Go get some sex, drugs, and rock and roll, not in that order, with 1977thecomic.com. That's about it for me.
In any case, this has been Fess of PSIwebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
And this is Mark of autumnlake.com.
And this is Kurt Sasso from tgtwebcomics.com.
And that's all for this week. Be sure to... Wait, not next week. The week after. Webcomicbeacon.com/calendar. Go look.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.